is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. My name is C.A. Neary and I shall be your host for today. It's a little after 11 o'clock. You know, I had to rearrange how I'm reintroducing everything because that mic and the airpiece wasn't working. So I had to be moving things and manipulating things. But I'm excited today. I'm excited today because it's a part two, a follow-up to a project I participated in. Maybe that was last year, maybe? Last year, I had some special guests here from... Was it University of Maryland? Yeah, University of Maryland, right? Who said, Neary, we're doing a DNA project, and I want to track your DNA, basically from your mother's line, and track it to see if you connected to, how are you connected to Africa? I know, this DNA project. But I went, and I found all kind of cousins. I mean, cousins came out of the woodwork. And you know when you get excited because things started to make sense? I got my DNA, and I found that I'm 97% African. And if you look at me, because, you know, anyone know that I'm Conky Joe, right? To be 97% African, and you look at me, you say, how is that even possible? But I'm not just 97% African. I got DNA mapping from Gambia, Nigeria, Ghana. And I said, okay, I see it now. I see it. And when I started discussing that, Bahamians from all over New Providence came forward and they too took their swab samples. I mean, the Mall of Marathon line was long. I mean, it was long and everyone now has that mapping to trace how they are connected to Africa and how it, let me find my right words now, how it went through the Bahamas in general. But I don't have the words to explain it. I have the doctor from UB, my cousin from Long Island. If you look at her, you can see that we look alike, right? She's going to go and give a narrative of what happened, what I participated in, why so many people, Bahamians, participated in then. And then she's going to reintroduce all of the guests we have in studio because the research is expanding. It's expanding because they're now moving off the island of New Providence and they're going to Cat Island. They're going to do some map tracing there, DNA map tracing in Canada. And also, they are going to explain the results, and that's what they're here for, to go and explain the research, information from the research they did for the last time. And I'm kind of excited about that because Erin, who just joined us now, is jealous because I told her to go do a DNA mapping sample, and she didn't do it. But now I can brag to say, well, I know who I is, and she don't know who she is.
I know who I am, and there's a reason why I don't do it, Mr. Neary.
Go ahead.
I already told you, Charles is my cousin.
You don't want to know that.
That's a secret.
Yeah.
You don't need the tax man to know that.
King Charles.
Yeah.
I see your phone calling me, Erin, and you're right here next to me. Anyway, without further ado, let me introduce my cousin from Long Island. She goes in detail because they have my DNA results here, right? And go into detail. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Formally introduce yourself again.
My name is Dr. Tanya Sims. I'm assistant professor of biology at UB, and I'm here with my collaborators, Dr. Miguel Villar. He's from University of Maryland, and one of his graduate students, Fernanda...
Brockenfeld-Ferrarini.
There we go.
So it's Ferrarini and not Fernanda?
No, that's her first name, Fernanda.
Your first name is Fernanda?
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So what we have done and what we're doing is we have been looking at Bahamians from New Providence. What we're trying to do is to see where our populations originated from. We know that we had a big influx from the transatlantic slave trade, but which parts of Africa did we actually originate from? And I say we, because even I got my 6% Nigerian, I got my 20%.
The Heman Conky Joe. Yes.
Exactly. So tonight we've sent out invitations to those that have participated from New Providence. What we want to do is we want to go through your family tree DNA results with you to kind of take you through the steps to what they actually mean and how you interpret them, because there are some tabs on the website that you may not be able to know how to interpret. So we're having, and we're also going to present our preliminary data, which we've submitted for publication tonight. So this is going to be at 6:30 at UB campus in the GTRC complex, which is also known as the SIS complex. So it's tonight at 6:30 to about 8:30 p.m. tonight. And for those that didn't get a chance to participate when we were at the mall, if you still want to come and give your DNA, you're more than welcome to.
Okay, so this is going to be like a part two, a result or a conclusion of what you discovered on the last project.
Yeah, it's kind of our preliminary findings. We're still not done with the project in New Providence. I have three undergraduate students that are working with me. We are presenting for the first 160 individuals as a population. But we're also going to walk you through what your individualized results mean.
So if I participated in this this program, right, and I wanted to understand what results were, this is the time I come there and say, hey, this is my results, or look through my name and explain what this means.
Yes.
Okay. So let's get some more details about the last program. What is this DNA find? We're going to talk to Dr. Baylor. I pronounce your name right?
Yes. Dr. Okay. Miguel Valarius.
Valarius. I'll be calling you all kind of names today. Okay. Doctor, explain the entire program. Why you're here in New Providence? Why are you moving to Cat Island? What is your goal? What is your objective? And why should Bahamians participate in this?
Yeah, well, thank you, first of all, for having me here. This has been an exciting project. We've been working collaborating for several years, but we really got started last year, like you were saying, and you participated with us last year at the mall, a very exciting event that we had there. We had over 160 participants that day, and over 200 total from New Providence have participated already.
Actually,
330. Oh, we're above 330. Okay, so we're over 300 and into 330 already. And it's been a great success. New Providence, sort of the capital here in Nassau, we launched the project here. And this year, we're moving on to Cat Island. And the idea with this project is to really understand the connections between the Bahamas and parts of Africa. We've known that the population of Bahamas has strong connections to Africa. The participants, for the most part, show a higher frequency of African ancestry than other parts of the world. And we're trying to sort of do a higher resolution test, meaning we're going to dive deeper into your DNA, different parts of your DNA, and try to match you to specific parts of Africa. And then move on to other islands and see connections among the different islands of the Bahamian archipelago and see if they're different, see if they're same. And ultimately to be able to do a genetic map of the archipelago and be able to tell people the connections to specific parts of their ancestry in parts of Africa.
I have a cousin, Barbara Hepburn, right? She's a Benabe, and the Benabe claimed Africa to the Bahamas. She was vexed when y'all came here because she's traveling, and I said, I tell you this coming, and she didn't take it. I want to know, is the last time you were here is free. I didn't pay a thing. I just come there and say, man, can I do my swab? You say, man, it's free. Take advantage of it. Is when you go to Cat Island and, of course, tonight at UB, is it still free?
So when we go to Cat Island, we have 100 kits. So we can sample 100 people there. That's what we bought 200 here for New Providence. We don't have any more for New Providence, unfortunately, but you can still donate and get your mitochondrial DNA results. It'll likely be early next year that they'll be ready, but you can still get some part of your ancestry. But when we go to Cat Island, 100 individuals, we have 100 kits, free of charge, you get your ancestry.
So come Cat Island. So we give him the clarion call for, tell the Prime Minister, right? You know, his MP. I let him know that you come into Cat Island. Which day are you going to Cat Island, by the way?
So we get in Cat Island on Wednesday.
This Wednesday?
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, tomorrow, Wednesday.
And we'll be there until Saturday.
So Saturday, that's a good time.
Yeah.
And so where are you going to be doing the sampling in general? So those who are listening could call and say, hey, I can drive. Cat Island's a good drive. I can drive from one point to next point to participate.
So we don't have a set point. We're mm-hmm. going to be driving around.
Oh.
We're just going to be going. Anybody who
it's
wants.
It's a field trip.
Yeah, exactly. It's a drive-through. Mm-hmm. I'll give you my phone number.
Go ahead.
If you want to contact me. Mm-hmm. It is 457-0177. And I will give you Dr. Michael Pateman's number. I just got to get it out of my bag. You can contact either of us, and we will just tell us where you are, and we'll.
I want to say this Cat Island trip is exclusive for Cat Island residents, right?
Yes.
All right, because I know there's only one plane going uh-huh. to Cat Island. If y'all see me on the plane, y'all will know exactly why I did. Okay, so what's the difference between the full DNA workup and the mitochondrial test?
Okay, so the mitochondrial test will tell you where your maternal relatives are from.
Mm-hmm.
The full DNA test will tell you both sides. It'll tell you it uses what we call autosomal markers, which are from both parents.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll tell you where your ancestry is from both parents
mm-hmm.
at a given time. Whereas with the mitochondrial DNA, I'm just looking at where your maternal relatives are from.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say maternal relatives, that doesn't mean that you have to be a female to donate, because all individuals get their mitochondrial DNA from their mother's egg.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are siblings or cousins, we can't take you because you will have the same mitochondrial DNA as your sister, your brother, or your cousin.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And how much does this normally cost, this process, how much could it normally cost? And does like the kit, the online kit, does it come with any consultation services? Like you say, you're going to sit people down and walk them through the results.
So I'll let Dr. Villar take this one.
Yeah. So the tests have come down in price, but they're about $100 if you were to purchase one online, okay. Maybe even more because of shipping to the Bahamas. Once in a while, you might get cheaper. So last year, we were able to do 200 for free. And this year, through the partnership with Family Tree DNA, we were able to do 100 more in Cat Island. So it's normally somewhere between $50 and $100 per person, but they're getting it for free.
Now, what happens to my sample once it's taken? Like, who owns it? Who could use it? Because the clone of me and the clone is better looking and sexier than me. I have a problem.
Trust me, if anybody making clones, mm-hmm. I'm making three of me.
There you go.
I need three of me. The samples that are collected will be stored for the work that's being done at UB. They'll be stored in a locked freezer at UB. All the consent forms are in my office in a locked cabinet, so they're with me. So if anything happened to your DNA, you got to come see me.
Mm-hmm.
The samples that go to Family Tree DNA, we have somebody actually with us who works with Family Tree DNA on this trip,
mm-hmm.
and he will take them back to the company and run them. And then...
Yeah, and likewise, some samples... if you consented, we'll go to the University of Maryland, where I work. I also kept in lock and key.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and my student, Fernanda Ferrarini, who's here, will be in charge of that.
All right. Like this is an awesome space, right? I'm also thinking of like the future and the positives, right? How likely is it, or first of all, can a local researcher access the records for research, positive, good research purposes, and... How likely is it like my DNA may end up in a study and I may be the next Henrietta Lacks?
No.
I liken that.
No. No. Once you participate in the study part, you have the right to withdraw the study at any point in time.
Okay.
You have to select on the consent form whether you want your samples stored or destroyed.
Okay.
That's when we say that we store it. The reason that we store it, we have a 2-year kind of limit on it. And we'll store it for similar research to what we're doing. Nothing medical.
Okay.
And I keep telling people, if provided we get the money, we could tell you what tribe in Africa you come from. So that's the ultimate goal.
My grandfather may owe them money. I'm not sure I want to know. But knowing is so important, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's the emphasis of this project is knowing who you are. Mm-hmm. Having a sense of self, mm-hmm. right, is so important. It's fantastic. But I'm kind of open to the potential, right? The potential that at some point in time we'll be collecting DNA to conduct medical research mm-hmm. about Bahamians. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads into Fernando's project.
Yes, let's get Ms. Fernando.
Let me get introduced. The numbers first.
Oh, you meant go to Pateman?
Yeah. So again, my number is 457-0177, and this is Tanya Sims. And Michael Pateman, his number is 4426. Again, 441-2396.
Okay. So, Fernando, yes. You're a graduate student in Maryland. How did you get involved with this project? What is your involvement role in this project? How is the Bahamas so far?
Well, the Bahamas is great. I mean, it's our first morning here.
Yeah, just reach.
It's already very hot and very good. But I'm kind of used to it because I'm Brazilian, so... And I feel at home. And thank you for the hospitality, by the way. So, my project is... Well, when I was kind of invited to participate in the project and to my part of it, I wanted to do something besides the mitochondrial. So I wanted to look at the other part of the DNA, the larger part of DNA that we... They are both from both parents. And my idea was to look more at an adaptation level. So all organisms or individuals, they adapt to maybe if it's too hot, they adapt to the environment that's too hot or to an environment that is too cold, something like that. And that happens in various like levels of adaptation, if that makes sense. And we found out that there are a lot of studies that relate malaria-resistant genes in different parts of the world. So we'll have that in Brazil. We'll have
can resist malaria in their genes?
So there are specific genes that are related to people having this resistance, being more resistant to malaria. So maybe they will still have malaria, but it won't affect them that much, won't be that severe mm-hmm, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And we have genes that are involved in that. So the idea was we can find this in Africa, which is an environment that has malaria. And the idea was, what about Bahamas? You have this ancestry in Africa. Those genes, they stay the same way as they were before when people were still in Africa? Or do they change because the environment changed?
Mm-hmm.
So we are now in an environment where we don't have malaria. Theoretically, so how does that change the DNA? Do we mm-hmm. still have this resistant or not?
At first, I thought it was a mosquito study, mm-hmm. Mr. Nuri. Right? I don't need a tolerance to malaria. I need a tolerance to mosquitoes. But I found myself in the Suriname rainforest in a maroon village, and we didn't want to take the malaria medication. Even though, I mean, we understood that it wasn't the deadly form of malaria on this that was being experienced in that rainforest. So we opted for bush tea. And Bahamians drink Serasi, which is like the most bitter bush tea, I think, outside of neem tea. The bush tea they had for the malaria treatment was sweet like Kool-Aid, Tanya. Tanya, because you're an island girl, you know, it was sweet like Kool-Aid, right? And it made me think... would those maroons have maintained a resistance to malaria that they brought with them, right? And it's not that the malaria isn't deadly, it's just that they have this resistance to it, you know? But so fascinating, fascinating.
Something along those lines. And the thing that I think it's important to mention is that we're not studying malaria itself. We're not doing anything medical in that way. We are kind of studying adaptation. Mm-hmm. I think that's
how
the
genes how the DNA has adapted to the environment.
Exactly, like how they're behaving. Are they keeping their like ancestral form, kind of?
Because as soon as Nasuvians leave New Providence and they hit a family island, it's like they catch sense. Their whole DNA changes. They calm down. They feel better about everything. But that's fascinating, and especially for the descendants of Africans, but also for people in the New World, right? Because Tanya used my cousin, 16% Nigerian.
Mm-hmm. He's 6%.
Oh, 6%.
No, 20% African, though.
20% African, 6% Nigerian. No, man, but she sounded.
Yeah.
Right, but if you suck your teeth, we'll know.
Yeah, exactly.
See, there you go.
So let's talk about my DNA. It's specific to me, because you know I took part in the project and I wanted to share my results, share the process on how this is about. Before we do that, Ms. Sims, Dr. Sims, how did you get in contact with the University of Maryland to start this project? I want to give a little narrative of that. And then we start talking about me.
Okay.
Right?
So,
because I'm 3%, because notice I'm 97% African, but I am 2% Irish. And then one uncertain from some Balkan someplace, right? But I want you to explain what this Balkan place is. Nuri's an Irish name, but I want to know how I get 2% Irish. And you all explain that, but how are you getting connected to Maryland?
You don't like my explanation.
No, I don't like your explanation. No. I can let doctor play him back. No. You're just trying to take my white part out of me. No, you're trying to take my white part out of me. That's okay.
All right. So this project kind of came out of a different project. So when I first came to UB, about a year after I got here, I got in contact with Dr. Pateman. And Dr. Pateman was working with Dr. Villar and Dr. Yarduman. And they asked me to come on board. They were looking at some ancient DNA in the Bahamas. And so we kind of formed a group there. And I told them, I mean, they kind of knew that I worked with modern Bahamians. And that was kind of my fascination, because I always want to know where we come from. And I said, well, you know, why don't we kind of, since we all together, why don't we kind of look at the contemporary Bahamians? There are several islands, particularly in the south. The south, southern Bahamas hasn't been touched genetically. So why not, you know, try to, and mitochondrial DNA for the Bahamas has never been done. So why not? And we started the project. We got funding twice from the Wilson Award at UB. And we also said, okay, well, why don't we look at Ghana? So we also got funding to sample in Ghana.
Okay.
So the ultimate goal is to compare Bahamians with Ghanaians. The reason why is because the first three slave ships that came to the Bahamas actually came directly from Ghana.
Okay.
And I know you keep mentioning Cat Island, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're going to next. The reason why we chose Cat Island is after New Providence and Eleuthera, Cat Island was one of those that got a good number of slaves after those slave ships came. So we want to see if we see that Ghanaian influence in Cat Island, where you have, I don't know if I'm correct in saying this, but there's less migration. People tend to stay in Cat Island. They don't tend to venture out. If they do, they go always go back home. You know what I mean? So that's kind of why we selected Cat Island.
Yeah. And now I need to have a caller. So I want to engage a caller, so have the caller engage you. So I'll go straight to the caller first. Then I want to talk with me.
Okay.
I want to talk about my 2% Irish, because I consider myself Conky Joe. Right? You want to squint your eyes.
You see it?
Yeah, just make sure. Your eyes squinty, that's why. So let me engage the caller, and then we'll go into the results and how it came about. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
Yes, good morning, C.A. Good morning, Ms. Nuri. Good morning, dear panelists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the lady voice, and she had said something very interesting on her last show. And so there was a scientific symposium decades ago. I don't know, maybe about two decades or more, but Nikki Kelly or Catherine Kelly wrote an article on it, and it showed that the unadulterated DNA really proved that everybody came out of Africa. And so I was wondering if there's any evidence to, like, update studies on that. So something she said, I have a question because, you know, I'm kind of jealous of the mitochondrial being strictly maternal, but I know you had said something on your last show months ago about the mitochondria being also in the sperm of males, right?
Yes.
But it is lost when the tail is dropped.
Yes.
And could you explain the movements? How close is it? The mitochondrial DNA connected to the endoplasmic reticulum? And explain the movements, because I was wondering why is it that you can only get this test from mothers when it is also mitochondria is found in the sperm. So explain a little molecular events. It's kind of complicated.
Okay, so when the sperm has to have mitochondrial DNA in the tail to actually be able to swim to the egg. But when the head that has nuclear DNA enters the egg, the tail drops off. So none of that mitochondrial DNA from the sperm actually get into the egg.
That's where they get the Bible verse from. When you find your wife, cleave from your mother, your family. You need them. Let that line go.
Yes. So just talk with me. Let's talk with me. Go ahead, Doc. What did you discover about me, Dr. Veal?
Yes. So when you donated a DNA sample, it was run by our partner, Family Tree DNA.
You can explain what you mean by run and what exactly the process to. I'm sorry.
Sure. So when you gave us a cheek swab, the sample was then cleaned, sort of purified to get rid of the non-DNA part of it. And then that DNA part that you carry were the information about your ancestry, information about your genes in general, all that then... they're run through various different equipment that makes billions and billions of copies of it, not for any other reason other than for us to be able to study it and visualize it. And then we then tease apart that DNA into different areas. We talked about the mitochondrial DNA. We can actually look at direct maternal line. In your case, as a male, we also looked at the Y chromosome and your direct paternal line. And then the rest of your DNA, which is the majority in a sense, 99% of it, is coming from both parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, remixed, reshuffled every generation. And so when you looked at your results, and I'm actually looking at a screen right now with some of your results as well, you found out that you had connections to various parts of Africa. I think you said 97% African. 97%.
Blue-black. Yes, go ahead.
So the 97% African that you said, that being through that rest, the 99%, that the rest of your DNA that you shared from your four grandparents, eight great-grandparents. And then within that, now, 10 years ago, we would tell you it's African or European or Asian. Now we can actually sort of break down aspects and parts of Africa. And ideally... we can even pinpoint to maybe specific countries or specific ethnic groups within those countries in the coming years. But right now, you're probably finding connections to I think you mentioned parts of West Africa, the Gold Coast or Ghana, Nigeria, in some cases Senegal and Gambia show up, Angola. These places we can actually tease apart through this part of the DNA. And then show you if within that 97, you probably have maybe 20% coming from the Nigeria, 25% from Ghana, 10% from Angola, and so forth. I don't have those numbers in front of me for you, but what I do have for you, I'm looking at right now, is those specific lineages that comes from your mom's mom, the mitochondria, and your dad's dad, the Y chromosome.
Go ahead.
So let me talk a little bit about those for you. So let's start with the mitochondria. We've been talking about mitochondria for a while. Your lineage is called L1B. It's one of the more common ones in what I would call, the Nigeria, Gold Coast, that part of Africa. It's one of the older ones. L0 is the oldest. L1 is the second oldest. So you're part of L1B. And that one has more direct connections to, like I said, Nigeria, Ghana, maybe even parts a little further west. Your male line, your Y chromosome, interestingly, belongs to a group called E. The major group is called EL485, and these numbers really don't mean anything unless you sort of dive deeply into L485 is one of the two major branches that we see in sub-Saharan Africa. And your specific lineage is a tiny branch inside the L485 called CTS4907. Again, those are codes that us DNA people know.
I know what it means. But I know the experts, so I can say it out loud.
Well, CTS4907, you're actually the only participant we have within the group to be part of this group.
I'm unique.
But you're very
unique.
I know what it means.
Exactly.
No, talk about my uniqueness. Go ahead.
Well, this lineage specifically, we see for the West in parts of Senegal and Gambia. So, in general, we would say your mother's line ties closer to Nigeria and Ghana, and your father's line ties you more to Senegal and Gambia. And that's sort of a summary, in a sense. And then in general, the 97% shows, you know, a patchwork of different parts of Central and West Africa.
Okay. I hope you heard the part. I'm unique. How many tested like me again?
We had
160.
We're looking at 160 from last year, yeah. And you one of the few that has a unique haplogroup, I think, in both sides.
There you go. Yes, unique. I was telling people that for a long time.
I know you're special.
Yeah, that's okay.
Without a doubt.
We're going to take a quick break here. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. They fly into Cat Island and do the same type of swap soon. So I'm sure the people in Cat Island are excited. If you have family in Cat Island, start calling them. Start calling them because they're going to be driving up and down, taking swabs as they go. I'm excited for Cat Island. I would love to see the Prime Minister take his DNA sample. I mean, I wonder if I could inbox him.
I don't know why you said that just then.
Cat Island, no?
Absolutely.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologists can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
As a local Bahamian bank, we believe that Bahamian businesses are the backbone of our society. At Fidelity, we proudly fuel the dreams of our local entrepreneurs looking to expand. Ready to grow your business? Apply for a Fidelity commercial loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have Dr. Sims in studio from University of the Bahamas. I see we have a caller online. We're going to join that caller to ask some questions. And of course, we have a graduate from the University of Maryland. And of course, Dr. Vela. I pronounced it correctly yet?
Vela.
Vela, getting closer. Dr. Vela, who's leading this study. And we're talking about DNA, tracing the mapping to Africa. I found I have some unique DNA inside our batch, so I'm kind of bragging about that because I think I'm special. But let me engage the caller first, and we go back to talk about your Cat Island ventures, and then we talk more about your research and the project and all in general. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM. Caller, are you there? Call a girl once, call a girl twice. Okay, no, go ahead.
Have you all found any samples that are just so alien, pun intended, that you suspect that maybe it's alien?
Say that again.
Zinuri says he's special, right? Uh-huh. I believe him. Have you found any in this particular project and the work that you've done, are you aware of DNA samples being identified but not being linked to any other samples already identified?
Yes. So when I was doing my PhD, I looked at samples in New Providence, Abaco, Exuma, Long Island, Eleuthera, and somewhere else. I can't remember. But basically what I found was when I looked at the Y chromosome in particular, which is male-specific, there were lineages or mutations in the DNA that were Bahamian specific. So they had mutated since they got from Africa and they were in the islands.
Evolution like could happen that quickly?
Mm-hmm. It was just a one-step mutation. It's not like a big, huge, you know, yeah. Sometimes it's just a single DNA base change.
Just a change, right, because you know right. My mommy told me if I fix my face like that, it may get stuck.
Yeah.
That's an evolutionary change. Okay, so, yeah.
So there are Bahamian some,
specific like yes. anomalies
yes.
that are fascinating.
Yes.
So in the break, I was talking about this 1990 World Health Organization report about codrenal hyperplasia. Florexide 21, right? It's a mm-hmm. condition that may result in intersex birth. For people that are interested in sort of engaging or starting DNA medical sort of research and collection for medical purposes, like where's the best place to start?
Maybe
I'm not the scientist, but I have the funds to initiate a project like that.
I mean, I would say you would need to go through a doctor first that is familiar with the condition. Once they agree to do a study, then you always have to get IRB approval.
IRB?
Institutional Review Board approval.
Okay.
Whenever you work with human subjects, you have to have that
okay.
in order to do a study, and that's through UB.
Okay.
And then you have to make sure the IRB approval is done. You have to make sure you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the money, then and people are willing to participate, then you go that way. But if it's a medical study, I believe you also have to get approval from the Bahamas Medical Council.
Okay.
So that's another step you would have to do.
Okay.
Let's talk about FamilyTree.org. That's a
FamilyTree DNA.
Just talk about that for a while. Why we chose that? How do you log on? How do Bahamians get familiar with that particular site so they could do follow-ups and stuff like that?
Okay. So if you have done the family tree DNA before. I know initially we said that, you know, the results would be emailed to you, but we found out a little bit later that you actually had to log on to the website. So we gave you a paper with the kit number and the password. So once you go to familytreedna.com, it'll say sign in at the top right corner. You click there, you put in for the kit number. It's a BP number that we gave you. You put that in. And then you put in that password that we gave you. They're going to ask you to change your password right away because the password is not long enough. They've updated the system. Once you log in, you're going to see a page that says, what is it? It results. It says autosomal DNA results and tools. And it'll tell you if your results are complete or not. Underneath there, you can click on Family Finder matches, and this will tell you basically who your cousins are, mm-hmm. Who your DNA matches with, and there's also My Origins, and this is the interesting part because this will tell you where your family is from. For instance, mine says that I'm 80% European and 20% African, or 19% African, sorry. So if it'll then break it down. So I'm like 29% Irish, 27% from Central Europe, 8% from Scandinavia, and 16% from Eastern Europe. Then if I look at Africa, I am about 8% from the Horn of Africa, which is like Ethiopia, Somalia region.
Are you far?
Boy. And then 6% Nigeria, and then a couple other West African, very small amounts. So it'll give you that. But what I find is interesting is if you go to what's called Chromosome Painter, the Chromosome Painter will give you your chromosomes. And I don't know if you guys can see, but it'll give you each chromosome that you have, each 23 chromosome. And it'll tell you basically which part of the chromosome is from which region. And I can tell, it doesn't tell you which chromosome the parent comes from. But based on my family history, I figured out which one is my dad's chromosome. Because that's where the West African came from. Because he's from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his family's from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Long Island get little, you know, they all mix up.
Yeah.
So
We love them still.
Yes. You know. So that's kind of how you go through the results, but we'll kind of take you through it. It has some other features that you can go through as well.
Let's go back to the chromosomes, right? Mm-hmm. What is it telling me? What is the chromosome for? What will it indicate? I get my height from my paternal side.
No.
Okay.
So a lot of you are multi-gene. What that means is that there are many, many different genes involved. So many, many different chromosomes. There are a few disorders where you can have an extra chromosome or a missing chromosome. You may see that.
Okay.
There are chromosomes that may give you a specific disorder because they get an imprint from one of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you may see that. But this is just kind of interesting because it tells you kind of which part of the region that particular segment of the chromosome is.
No, it's very interesting. We got a text here from early in the conversation when we were talking to Dr. Fernanda.
Oh, not Dr. Ian. Yeah.
Soon. Okay. It's good day. Sickle cell trait is God's solution to malaria. Sickle cell disease is his odd humor. This part of the test, the chromosomal watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
For people who carry like a sickle cell trait or other traits,
mm-hmm.
are these tests important or is it a helpful tool? Do we suggest that people that do carry a trait and would like to prevent replicating that trait in their child, that they and their potential suitor, you know, if it's a mother, the potential father, if it's a father, the potential mother, that they do the test together to determine whether they have an increased risk of, if they both carry the trait, and if that increases the risk of producing a child that will also carry the trait.
So, I think the tests that we're looking at right now are sort of purposely looking at these deep ancestral, historical, anthropological questions. But yes, if you know yourself that you're a carrier of a disease and you're finding a partner, I would do it in consultation with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And family planning is a very personal issue. It's a very, it involves, people, and it involves the idea of making children. So I think this kind of question is, I would suggest that in consultation with your doctor, yes, you could take a DNA test. And there are specific ones that will look at the medical markers.
Mm-hmm.
So when we partner with the Family Tree DNA, for instance, we're trying to look at markers that are more about history, that mm-hmm. are more about ancestry and these long connections with our past, and less so about propensity to certain diseases and so forth. But yeah, we have the technology. I'm the believer that making the informed decision that you can make when you're getting married and having children, it's something, if you can do it in consultation with a doctor, you probably should.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have another telephone call here. But Dr. Sims, in terms of, if people like me who do family trees,
mm-hmm.
right, and want to know how we connect it to, Aaron and I are Hannah Hasty Tynes, right? But we're still trying to find out how that missing Hannah line, that missing Tynes line, can we use this type of DNA project to assist?
This can tell you all your cousins are, how far and how close they related to you.
Yeah, because I found some when I went on the site, a lot of people from Andrus, they are part of Hannah Hasty Tynes, but we have a lost line in Andrus, right? They came out of the woodwork saying, oh, I see we match. I'm from Andrus, but I'm not in the Bahamas. I had like six different people from Andrus who reached out and say, we seem to be second and third cousins. How are you related? And I'm going through my family tree and say, well, I have no one from Andrus.
Mm-hmm.
But in your family tree, you mentioned Hannah. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's one of the Hannah lines that left Acklands and gone to Andrus, and perhaps we're related that way.
But also, it may be just they're not there because they haven't done the family tree DNA yet.
Okay.
So as soon as we get to the other islands or they decide to go and do it on their own, once that data is uploaded, then they'll magically appear as their cousin.
Okay, I call a hang up right there. Let's talk about tonight again and to remind the audience what's happening tonight. Who should come out tonight? What should be expected tonight?
Okay. So to the Bahamas and the GTRC complex, which is more formally known as the SIS, Small Island Sustainability Complex, is all the way in the back. So if you head in the back, you head one dirt road, you go in the right way. It will be in room 240. And if you happen to get lost or you're not sure, you can give me a call at 457-0177. Tonight, we will be going through, we will be taking you step by step through how to find your results if you haven't gotten your results as yet, as well as how to interpret your results, how to use the website. Also be presenting our preliminary findings on the Bahamian population as a whole, the New Providence population, and we'll show some comparisons to Ghana and how similar the haplogroup composition is. We will also be trying to reconsent individuals that previously participated in the study if they would like to participate in Fernanda's research. You wouldn't have to give another swab if you gave one previously. We do have that in the freezer, so she would be able to use that. But if you haven't given and you want to come out and do your maternal DNA, you can come out tonight and we can swab you tonight. And we'll be there to just answer any questions that people have. So that's kind of what's going to happen tonight.
So if you're doing family trees, right, and you want to connect your family via DNA, this is the time to come and ask some questions and how to map things out. Say, okay, how do I create a whole booklet on all of these things? You bring. So if, like my cousin Gamal wanted to participate too, right? And I was telling him, man, we have the same DNA type, kind of, right? Explain if I should, that was a bad recommendation, because I know we have different mothers, but I mean... How is that in
so
contrast?
So, it's on your maternal side. He's okay. A cousin on your mother's side.
No, he's maternal on my father's side.
On your father's side.
So, he should have come.
So, he can come. Oh. Yes, for the mitochondrial DNA, he can definitely participate.
Okay. I see we have another caller here. I missed some text. So I want to go. Dr. Vela, do you have any more DNA information about me? Because I like sharing. Let's check it. No more? That's it.
Well, what we want to repeat tonight is at 6:30 in UB. And... we'll be talking about the general results. I don't want to go into specifics of anybody else. I can talk about yours.
Yeah, me.
With your
me.
Permission.
Yeah, man. Yeah, just talk about me. I like talking about me.
Well, you, your DNA sort of, I guess, stands out. And there's a lot of sort of cases like that come out of the woodwork, come out of the DNA instruments, if I may. So if you're interested in these stories about your family or how you connect or maybe how unique you are, then come join us. You can learn some stuff tonight about it.
Just go quickly to this caller and Aaron can read some text. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of family histories, we have carried cancer and sickle cells. Would you guys be able to check into that before you date someone? Because we date people, right? But we don't really know their history.
No, I mean, this current research is not going to do anything like that. This is more to figure out, you know, how persons migrated within the islands. And, you know, how some of the islands are pretty, the populations kind of stay there. So they become isolated somewhat. So no real medical information is given.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. Using the molecular DNA clock, is the Sandbush man from South Africa one of the earliest one of the earliest humans on the planet?
Well, what we have learned from working with different groups in Africa, and you specifically mentioned the San people, the San Bushman people, as you mentioned from the text, they are one of the, not the earliest, but one of the earliest splits in the human family tree. We're all humans. We're all the same species, Homo sapiens, you know, a common ancestor. And the branch is split up and that lineage sort of led to some of these groups in Southern Africa. Are sort of the more distant relatives, in a sense. And that is sort of still a question that we're reviewing, we're looking more closely, but it has come out to sort of to show us that we are sort of all the same species, and our deepest ties may be in that part in Southern Africa, yes?
Absolutely.
I just want to preempt this. No, I don't need to preempt it. Just read the question and then let Dr. Sims read it.
All right, so here's the text. Did she say ancient DNA? I think they're looking for a particular DNA code. In this data and science era, DNA should be guarded and not freely given to anyone. Text her. That's why I haven't taken the test yet. Because I know I part Chikchani. I just only talk about Charles because, I mean, technically he's my cousin, but it don't matter. I'm part Chikchani, and if they do this research and find that out, I don't know if they're going to give me my gratuities for it. You know, I'm scared. I'm also part Garland woman, but then Yuri didn't tell you all that.
Ancient DNA was Lucayan. We had a Lucayan project. Quickly, I mean, we have 30 seconds. Quickly explain the Lucayan project and give us a phone number to contact you also.
Okay, so the Lucayan project was basically looking at bones from different sites in throughout the islands. The DNA was actually extracted at Harvard University, and we kind of reanalyzed the DNA specifically for the Bahamas.
Any Lucayans from Andres? Any Andres still? These soft, curly hair people?
Well, we haven't gone to Andres yet.
Oh, we got to go. We got to go. Because exactly. The people in Andres say, look here, we are Indians. Mm-hmm.
And then we had a number of people claim that they are from Seminoles or also, and your research did research on that. This is why it's so important to come and participate. But we got to go. Phone numbers.
457-0177 is my number. And Dr. Pateman is 441-2396.
So, anyway, that's Guardian Radio AM. Come out tonight at UB. And if you want to do that DNA thing, you could do that. And other than that, go to Cat Island. When you go to Cat Island, which way are you going to Cat Island?
We're going Wednesday. From Wednesday, August 6th to Saturday, August 10th.
Yes, and they'll be driving all through Cat Island, testing, because Cat Island is a closed society, so they're hoping to get some good samples there.
You think they can find Obey and the DNA?
Of course you can find Obey. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.